Good morning to you again. This is Brother Jonah. And we're going to go back to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning, starting with verse 1 this time. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight that the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. To consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Well, we see the writer of Hebrews is going to follow the same line that we did been going the last couple of days. I guess the first day, Sunday morning, discussed six things that we can do while we're waiting upon the Lord. As the Lord begins to chasten us, those things that we find in verses 12, 13, 14, and 15 is what we should find ourselves doing. And then yesterday morning we talked about rejoicing in the Lord always, even in the midst of trials and troubles and situations of life that seems to be a bad deal, we should be full of cheer. And, you know, whether we find ourselves being chastened by God, our Father in heaven, or whether we find ourselves being attempted to be devoured by the enemy, oftentimes either one of those things can destroy an individual's faith in Jesus Christ. You know, my mind goes back to the sower that went forth and sowed the seed, and seed fell upon good ground and bad ground and stony ground and different things, cares of life, and the love of the world, and deceitfulness of riches, and different things choked the word out. And I think we have a good thought here in Hebrews 12 in the first five verses to maybe answer some of those questions, that we can guard our hearts against failing the grace of God, finding ourselves in a state of being backslid. So let's again look at verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So if we were to go back and read chapter 11, you'd find what's typically dubbed as the Hall of Faith, and many men and many women that have served God, that have loved God, that were found faithful through the years, many and mostly in the Old Testament, but not all. We see that many testimonies all the way back to Noah and so forth, Enoch and Abel. Even it talks about faith and how these men and women wrought many things through faith. They subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and the list goes on of the things they accomplished through faith. And now we have that testimony before us, and the writer of Hebrews says, wherefore, or because of these things, we, you and I, are compassed or surrounded, or men that have gone on before us, with a great cloud of witness, men and women that would testify of the saving grace of God, men and women that have laid their lives down, that have spilt their blood, that have stood for truth, that have lost their heads, that have had cruel mockings and scourgings and punishments, and all types of wickedness performed upon their fleshly body. And we are compassed about with this great cloud of witness, men and women that stand in the halls of heaven, and they proclaim that God is faithful even in the midst of death. They proclaim that God is faithful in the valley of the shadow of death. They claim that God is faithful through the end of time. And this is the witness. This is the cloud of witness that speaks to us, that echoes these things to our hearts, that echoes these things to our minds, and encourages us and should instruct us in righteousness and being steadfast in the things of God. And he exhorts us there, and then he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, beloved, if we find ourselves oftentimes cast down and discouraged and disappointed because of the trial or the chastening that we may be going through, oftentimes, not all, but oftentimes, it's because there's a weight we haven't laid aside. Oftentimes, not all, but oftentimes, again, there's a sin that we have a hold of that we just enjoy a little too much, and we don't want to let go of it. It's maybe a pet sin. Maybe nobody knows about it. Maybe we think that we have everybody fooled, but in reality, the only one we're fooling is ourselves. Because the writer of Hebrews instructs us to lay these weights aside. You know, if you and I were to run a race, a 100-yard dash today, and maybe you would find yourself an Olympic sprinter. But if you tied a great weight to your legs, it doesn't matter how good you are or how bad I am, if the weight is heavy enough, I'll surely defeat you. And it's no doubt people find themselves in a state of perplexity and disappointment and delusion when they have all these weights and all these sins that are constantly holding them back from being all they can be in Jesus Christ. They have all these weights that are holding them down. They're trying to swim. They're trying to run. But these weights just cause them to sink into an ocean of despair. And they can't get forward. They can't take a step forward because every time they do, there's two steps backward. And the writer says to lay these things aside. Lay these weights aside. Lay these sins that so easily beset us, that calls us to start over, that calls us to fall to the wayside, that calls us to slow down and stop running. He says, be done with these things. Sever yourself from these things and run with patience this race that is set before us. But we'll never be able to run with patience. We'll never be able to lift up holy hands. We'll never be able to strengthen our feeble knees. We'll never be able to follow peace with all men and holiness. We'll never be able to look diligently unto the Lord Jesus. We'll never be able to be full of cheer or rejoice. And again, I say rejoice in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our chastisement, if we find ourselves dabbling with sin or dabbling with these weights of this world that hinder us from the gospel of Jesus Christ being instilled inside of our heart. This is what he exhorts us to. And he goes on to say in verse 2, as we're laying these things aside, as we're severing these sins, he says, looking unto Jesus, he's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, this is what he did. This was Jesus, our example. He says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and now is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is our example. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the sinless one, the perfect one. This is our example. He tells us to look to him, follow him. He has began and he has finished his course. He is the author and he is the finisher of your faith. And in the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He died for you. He bled for you. He was resurrected for you. And he has victory for you. If you will find victory for yourself, if you will sanctify yourself, if you will cause yourself to walk in true holiness and righteousness and sever yourself from these weights and these sins that this constantly, and maybe you've been allowing these things for years on top of years to beset you and hinder you from being all that God wants you to be. And yet you find yourself wondering why. Maybe you've even doubted if there is even a God in heaven. Maybe you've even found yourself wondering, is all these things even really true? Because you can't seem to find any victory in your life in the midst of all of these troubles. Beloved, the issue is not, is there a God? The issue is not, does Jesus sit at the right hand of the Father? But the issue is the weights and the sins that you continually allow yourself to get involved in. The issue is these sins that constantly beset you, just as the Scripture says. The Scripture says that these things will beset us. And yet we wonder why we can't have no victory. Oh, I pray we find ourselves sanctifying ourselves. Verse 3 says that we should consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider all the Lord Jesus went through. Consider in the beginning, Scripture says in Genesis 1st chapter says, let us make man in our own image, us being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They had a discussion, and they said, let us make man in our own image. Christ was there from the very beginning. He watched Adam be formed from the dust of the ground. He watched the Holy Ghost breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and he watched man become a living soul. He watched the fall. He watched Satan beguile Eve. He watched him being cast out of the garden, and never again to return. He watched life as the nation of Israel. He watched the sacrifices, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the promises of those men come to pass. And then one day, he stepped out of his throne and was clothed with humanity and walked amongst the people he created. And they ridiculed him, and they mocked him, and they beat him. And they put a crown of thorns upon him. And they raised him upon a cross between heaven and earth and said, let him save himself. He saved others. And they watched and they waited. And he gave up the ghost. Consider him. Consider the struggles he must have had as he was there on the Mount of Gethsemane, as he prayed and his blood became great drops of sweat. Imagine the pressure, but yet he did it for you, and he did it for me. The writer says, consider him. Consider him. All that he endured, all that he fought for, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Beloved, this morning, again, Christ came to save man from their sin. He came to redeem mankind, that they may live a victorious Christian life, that they may be a light set upon a hill, that they may be salt in this wicked world we live in. He says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Are you striving against sin this morning? I mean, we understand striving. Maybe you strove against your wife or your husband. Maybe you strove against your boss at work. Or maybe you have strove against different people in your fellowship. We understand what striving is. Are we striving against sin? When sin comes and knocks upon our door, when that temptation is there, do we strive against it, or do we open the door and allow it to come in fellowship with us? The writer says, ye have not resisted unto blood. Ye have not laid down your life as these men and women of Hebrews 11 have. Ye have not been cast into the den of life. You have not been stripped asunder of all the things you possess, your clothes and even your life. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Therefore be faithful. Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto my children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Because you're a son and not a bastard. You're a son, and God loves his children. Oh, that we could allow these weights and allow these sins to be severed from our lives. I understand we're all at different places. We all have different struggles. There's all different challenges. But I also understand that we shouldn't be wading in the same sinful mud puddle for year after year. I also understand that there's victory in Jesus. And I know there's help. And I pray that we would look up this morning unto the hills from which cometh our help. For our help is in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name again this morning. I ask you to touch and heal and deliver your people. Ask you, Father, to give us a burden for the things of God. Ask you, Father, to create a hunger and a thirst for righteousness that no earthly thing could ever quench. I ask you, Father, to mold us into the image of Jesus. Put your mind and put your heart within us, Father. Help us to be about your business, not our own. Father, I pray for that man out there that struggles with that same sin day after day, month after month, and year after year. Lord, I pray my words will not be that of condemnation, but I pray that they would be that of hope, that he could realize that you would speak to his heart even right now, the very same hour, that we don't have to live in a powerful son's pig pen for all of our lives, that we can run to the Father, and the Father will clean us up. and redeem us and sanctify us and purify us. So Father, I just pray you'd speak words of grace. I pray you'd send the Holy Ghost in his life. And at this point forward, you'd be determined more than ever to be holy as you are holy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I'm going to conclude on this thought. There was this couple of fellas just talking one day, and they were talking about sin and how often a man sins. And the one guy looked at him and said, "Do you think a man can go a whole day without sinning?" He said, "No, I don't." He said, "You don't think a man can go one day without sinning?" He said, "No, I don't." He said, "Well, how about half a day? Can a man go half a day?" And he thought for a while and said, "No, I don't think a man can go half a day without sinning." And the man said, "Well, how about an hour? Now, let's think of it. Can a man go 1 hour, 60 minutes, without sinning?" And the man thought real hard, and he said, "Well," but then he said, "No, I really don't think a man can go an hour without sinning." So the other fellow scratched his head and said, "Well, how about a minute? 60 seconds. Do you think a man can go 60 seconds? I mean, we've been talking here for several minutes. Can a man go 60 seconds without sinning against God?" And he thought, and he realized that he had been there for several minutes and he hadn't committed sin. He said, "Yeah, I do believe a man could go 60 seconds without sinning. He can go 1 minute without sinning." And the other fellow looked at him and said, "Oh, yes. Then may we live life 1 minute at a time." And beloved, this morning, whatever your struggle is, whatever your greatest trial is, may you live life 1 minute at a time. God bless you today.